Turn, if you would, Mark chapter 10. I will be brief and I will go as quickly as I can. I see the clock. Mark chapter 10. A passage of scripture many of you know very well. We'll just jump right into it. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. It says, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. This was Jesus with his disciples. And Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. Those who followed were afraid. And talking with the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen, saying, see, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priest and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. Jesus was not uneducated about his ministry. His ministry was to serve and to suffer. He knew exactly what was coming. Nobody killed Jesus without his knowledge. He was aware of it. He walked right into it. That's not the point of this sermon, so we'll go quickly through this. Fact is, Jesus knew his purpose. Let's see what happens right after that. And like I said, we're moving quickly today. These two guys, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were sometimes called Boanerges, the sons of thunder. I have a twin brother. If somebody called me and my twin brother the sons of thunder, that would not be a compliment. Let's see what happens with the sons of thunder. Verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him. This was after he just told them that. And said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one on the left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said, the cup that I drink, you'll drink. But with the baptism with which I am baptized, you'll be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but shall not be among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus knew his role. Jesus knew his mission. Jesus gave up his comfort. Jesus gave up heaven to serve and to suffer. But there were these two guys who were the sons of thunder. What were they doing? They were chasing thrones. They were chasing thrones. What happens sometimes in the world is that, especially in church ministry, churches are a place where people can sneak in because it's all volunteers, right? It's easy for people to try to set up their own thrones, to try to build their own kingdoms. There's only one kingdom, right? Only one kingdom, and it already has a king. These two brothers, they were not listening. Jesus was saying, it's time to go and suffer. It's time to go and work. It's time to go. This is right up there with the many times Jesus said, the first will be last. We've got to beware people in ministries that are chasing thrones and that are chasing kingdoms. We have to beware in our own hearts not to be chasing thrones and chasing kingdoms. It's so funny. I think I said it 2 weeks ago in the sermon. It's so funny how humility works. You can be serving in the humblest way possible, and then you can become prideful about being humble. I believe it was St. John Chrysostom. He made that observation that humility is in service. Humility is sometimes the most difficult of all virtues because you can become prideful for being humble. We are not chasing thrones. We are not chasing kingdoms. We need to be a people who serve. That third tree of service, the way that Pine Drive truly changes Dickinson and beyond is by serving people who need to know Jesus. It is so often true that you can share the gospel with someone, but if they're hungry, their ears aren't working. And if they're sick, their brain's not firing. We've got to serve people. We've got to love people. Now, it doesn't mean this is not replacing the gospel. This is part of the gospel. We've got to be serving and loving people. We've got to be a people who serve. We cannot be a church that's sitting around waiting on some big ministry. There are people in your world now that need to be served. You can serve in a big way and go on a mission trip. You can serve in a small way. Ultimately, we want to be like Jesus. And I'm flying through this sermon, but you guys, you can read this passage and already know what the sermon is, right, Brian? So it's pretty straight on. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. We have one life, and that life needs to be given away to others if we are to be like Jesus. I went to a funeral a few weeks ago for a lady I didn't know. It's a friend of mine's mother, and she was a very well-to-do lady from the Dallas area, quite wealthy, I believe. She had many nieces and nephews get up and tell stories about riding with Aunt so-and-so. I don't give her name, but in every story, they talked about a different classic car because that's how wealthy they were. They had a garage full of classic cars. All these stories, they were fun stories. There's nothing bad about them at all. They were fun stories, and the family's also quite well-to-do, which is not bad. I'm just making an observation. And then the last person to get up and speak at the funeral surprised me. It was a lady. This lady who passed was in her 80s. This lady was probably in her early 70s. She got up. She did not look like everyone else. She was wearing a fairly threadbare dress. She was obviously did not go to the same salons. She was just different. And she stood up there and very quietly, after everyone had laughed and told stories about this wonderful woman, who did fun things, who did great things, and none of that's bad. This woman got up and said, she was rich. I was poor. But my baby needed a playpen, needed a crib. And she showed up at my house, and she made me go buy one. And then she continued to help me until I got my feet under me. And the whole room just... whoosh. And that was indicative, I mean, that was obviously evidence that there could have been hundreds of other stories of people that didn't come to that funeral. It made me really think about what's important in life. I do hope I could ride in some classic cars and have some fun. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But if we're going to be like Jesus, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. We've got to be giving our lives away. If that means in a single mission trip, so be it. If that means by being the cool guy who's like Mr. Black Belt and gets to be like important, I'm kind of picking on him, but not really. Because I think the juxtaposition here is great of the guy who has a very unique skill versus someone who was a puppet who also has unique skills, but in that purposely like chose to do something. You don't have to be the best to serve. You just have to be willing. You don't have to be super qualified. You just have to be willing. You don't have to have means. You just have to be willing. Do we want to be like Jesus? Again, I'm flying through a short sermonette, if that's what you want to call it, because part of the sermon is hearing about what God has done and given opportunities for what God will do, just as valid. But I want this verse, Mark 10:45, to just ring in your ears. The Son of Man did not come to be served. There's so much consumerism in church these days. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. And I hope that we have that same heart. I was told in seminary, when you've said what you need to say, shut up. I've said it. My prayer is that all of us will have that heart, Now, if you are not a follower of Christ, if you've never made a decision to give your life to Christ and be saved, this is not for you. But I tell you what you can do. You can be saved today. You can give your life to Jesus today. And then you will have the capacity to be like Him, to serve others, to give your life in so many ways. For those of us that are children of God, it's just my prayer that you'll think through this and just ask yourself, how have I been doing? Am I a servant? Have I been giving my life away? I'll be honest with you. I think I told you all a few weeks ago. It always takes me a while. I go on vacation with my family, and I really like my family. So I come back home, and I don't want to fool with anybody else. If you don't live in my house, I just want to go to Yellowstone with my kids all the time. You know, thank God I like my kids. But it's so easy to become selfish so quickly. It's so easy to spend a whole week reading your Bible, listening to your Christian music, but not having actually served another human in a quantifiable way. If we're going to make a difference and be like Jesus, we've got to come and we've got to serve. So with that in mind, deal with God. Let that scripture work through your heart as we sing this last song. Let's all stand together and let's sing Abide. That's our last song, so you guys sing out.